I need to just, for a moment or two, have a moment or two of personal privilege. 1 year ago, this weekend, I first stood before you on my candidating weekend. I was deeply honored to have Reverend Clint at my side that Sunday, helping me through the service. And I'm grateful he is still standing beside me, helping me through the service. And I'm grateful for all of you, for all of your support as we journey together. And I just wanted you to know that as for me and my house, we're grateful to be here for this opportunity to minister with you. Thank you. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here's another true story. Apparently, Eve was having this conversation with God, and Eve complained something fierce about man, about Adam, about man. He was self-centered. He wanted her to do all the work, and yet he wanted to take all the credit. He wanted to be a hunter, not a nurturer, and on and on and on Eve went, and God just patiently listened. And when Eve had finished all of her complaints, God said, "Yes, yes, you're right, and there's even more to it. Man thinks, get this, he was made first, but we know the truth." And God continued, "But let's just keep this a secret, you know, between the two of us, woman to woman." I guess I could say the devil made me do it. That was that would fit into today's theme, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, over 200 years ago, Ben Franklin reminded people that there were only two things that were certain: death and taxes. I don't have a lot of wisdom on that taxes part of the equation, except, well, you got about 6 weeks to file, my friends. But let me try and keep it simple, servants, and share these words. All of us are going to die. All of us are going to die. All of us are going to die. You, me, absolutely every one of us, guaranteed. That point has been driven home these last 9 months when so many of our beloved members have gone on to God. Yep, a lot of people have died, and when I think about those things, I realize that there are some people who are walking around breathing, but they're not really alive. You ever met someone who seemed to be dead their whole life? Since we're going to die, I suggest our response is to die living rather than to live dying. So today's scripture lesson is a classic Lenten story. It's the paradigm for wandering through the wilderness of our own souls as we struggle to be authentic, curious about who we are, as we struggle to figure out how we want to live before we inevitably and absolutely die. The work of Lent is repentance, examining ourselves carefully enough to figure out, well, what we need to keep, what we need to change, and what we need to turn around so that God can be fully present in our lives. In Matthew, we finally find Jesus freshly baptized, called, named, claimed, and set apart for his very unique ministry in the world. All systems, they appear to be go. Except maybe they're not. I think Jesus is aware that death is as certain for him as it is for the rest of us. I think Jesus is also aware, as every good Jew was, that his life had an unique purpose in the heart and mind of God. But I think that's where his certainty ends, as it does for many of us. There on the edge of the desert, with the waters of baptism still damp in his curly hair, Jesus reflects and searches for what his ministry, what his life, what his call is all about. And that's exactly what we're to do, too, during Lent. Harold Kushner wrote, "I believe that it is not dying that people are afraid of. Something else, something more unsettling, more tragic than dying, frightens us. We're afraid of never having lived, of coming to the end of our days with the sense that we were never really alive, that we never figured out what life was for." I think about the funerals, the memorial services that I've done in my life, and it numbers in the hundreds, and there's a noticeable difference between people who have lived and those who never figured it out. I think Rabbi Kushner is on to something here. He continues, "The pursuit of happiness is the wrong goal. You don't become happy by pursuing happiness. You become happy by living a life that means something. Self-love, the ability to value, care for, and admit the importance of self, is central to celebrating the image of God within each of us. But self-love is different than self-esteem. Insisting that we're important is different than esteeming or valuing everything we do or are. Acknowledging our sin, brokenness, confusion, admitting to who we are not as well as who we are, is part of loving ourselves. This self-importance of our limitations, this tolerance for our own imperfection, this is what teaches us how to love and accept people who are imperfect around us, with whom we share God's world." Jesus' desert sojourn, then, is an act of profound self-love, for he is valuing himself and God enough to take time to figure out why he is unique, and what it is that he has done that has stood in the way of God's purposes in his life. And so should we. So here we have Jesus pausing to wrestle with the temptation to do things his way instead of God's way. He is facing the truth that if this inevitable death is to mean anything, his life must be lived in a certain way. What he discovers there in the desolate wasteland of limestone and sand is somewhat unsettling. Traditional Jewish wisdom has always suggested that when the Messiah finally comes, he will sweep us off our feet, giving us freedom, wealth, wholeness in breathtaking splendor. Yes, with spectacular power, the Messiah will establish God's kingdom on earth, giving us what we can never get for ourselves. I think Jesus knows when he goes into the desert that, better or worse, his job is to be the Messiah, the God's covenant of love. So when the devil beguiles him, Jesus is tempted to respond positively, to say yes to the devil. After all, this crafty creature is offering him all the anticipated techniques for messianic success, turning stones into bread so material comfort can be found, assuming authority and power over all the kingdoms of the world so political power can be won, jumping from the pinnacle of the temple to prove God's miraculous power is within him. Yes, the devil is offering Jesus the opportunity to be a superstar and give us everything we want. But Jesus, full of the Spirit, willing to listen to the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, knows the meaning of life cannot be found in quick spectacles or manipulative power. Jesus knows that being the Messiah, The Savior doesn't mean doing the work of salvation, the work of wholeness for other people. Instead, being the Savior, being a pastor, being a caring friend means giving people encouragement, the hope, the power to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus discovers by contending with the devil and sending the devil away that his calling is not to be a superstar who has all the answers, but to be a servant. His ministry is not to wear a golden crown, but one of thorns. He is to carry not a scepter of jewels, but a cross of wood. And so are we. So are we. That was the way Jesus to find meaning in his life, to live fully so that his death can bring abundant life to the world. And finally, Frederick Buechner has a lot to say about Lent and Lent's journey. He wrote, "In many cultures, there is an ancient custom of giving a tenth of each year's income to some holy use. For Christians, to observe 40 days of Lent is to do the same thing with roughly a tenth of the year's days. After being baptized by John in the River Jordan, Jesus went off alone into the wilderness where he spent 40 days asking himself the question what it meant to be Jesus. During Lent, Christians are supposed to ask in one way or another what it means to be themselves. When you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you see that you most like? What do you see that you most deplore? I'm not talking about outside physical features, but on the inside. If you could see your soul, what would you like? What would you deplore? If this were the last day of your life, what would you do with it? What message would you leave those who love you most? To hear yourself try to answer these questions and others is to begin to hear something not only of who we are, but both what we are becoming and what we are failing to become. It can be a pretty depressing business all in all, but if sackcloth and ashes are the start of it, something like Easter may be the end. And wow, do we need Easter joy. My friends, during this Lenten season, let us honestly face our own mortality. Led by the Spirit, let us struggle in the wilderness of our own soul until we discover what God's meaning is for our lives. What does it mean to be you? To be me? What does it mean? I suggest we keep it simple, servants. Live your life well. Be the people God created you to be. And if you don't know who you are, don't look at your name tag. Look within. Look within your heart. If you don't know who you are, Lent is a great time to start asking those questions and try to figure it out. As we journey, God goes with us. Thanks be to God.